Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The People's Republic of China revealed in the leaked documents, several hundred, none of it confirmable because these documents may have been and sometimes obviously were altered. I welcome Josh Rogan for the Washington Post. He writes Global Opinion about what we have from leaked documents that cannot be confirmed, that is logical, although extremely threatening. Josh, a very good evening to you. What is the DF-27? Have we ever heard of it before these leaks? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening, John. The DF-27 is a new and improved hypersonic cruise missile that the Chinese People's Liberation Army has had in development for several years. Yes, I've heard about it before. I've seen rumors that it's been tested before. But what we have now, thanks to these latest leaked documents, is confirmation that not only was it tested in February, it was tested successfully. Moreover, according to those leaked documents, according to our own top secret intelligence community analysis, it's been deployed in both the anti-ship and anti-land attack variants. And what that means is that this missile, which can travel between 5,000 and 8,000 kilometers and which has a hypersonic glide feature, which means it can maneuver in and around our ships and our missile defenses, has the ability to hold American ships at bay all over the Pacific or strike American targets all over the Pacific. And there isn't much that the U.S. military can do to stop them. In other words, all in a possible scenario where China tries to invade Taiwan, all of our aircraft carriers would essentially be sitting ducks and all of our missile defenses would essentially be rendered useless. And that's a pretty big advancement on the part of the Chinese military that our system really doesn't have any response for. And the realization that this has now happened, in my mind, should spur the United States and its partners to counter that capability to ensure that our military has the ability to operate in the Pacific. But right now, we don't have an answer for that. And that's a part of why this revelation is so shocking.
You remind me of the British prime minister whose quote outlived everyone. The bomber always gets through. That was not true. However, what you describe in your article in The Washington Post and just gave us a piece of suggests that the DF-27 always gets through. Is that correct? There is no known defense from a hypersonic missile can range 5,000 miles at those speeds.
Right. Theoretically, I mean, again, this is just the first confirmed test ever, and we don't know where it's deployed, and we don't know how effective it would be on a grand scale. But suffice to say, if the amount of DF-27s that are going to get through is a lot higher than it would have been for the previous missile, and the capability is only growing. And China and Russia have leapfrogged the United States in terms of hypersonic weaponry, and that is an asymmetric advantage that they have over us. In other words, we spend hundreds of billions of dollars on missile defenses and big ships, and they can neutralize them now with a missile that costs millions, not hundreds of billions. And that's a resource advantage that they have. So, you know, no, it's not that they always get through, but, you know, quantity has a quality of its own. And if it only costs them a few million to shoot one of these things and it costs us a few hundred billion to try to develop a system to stop them from shooting it, well, then they've won a battle right there.
All right. There's a theme here. Josh, what is the LH-19?
That is an assault ship that carries helicopters again, if you're sitting on the island of Taiwan and counting the number of things you have to be worried about, well, there's another one that's on your list, because according to the leaked documents, the Chinese have put these into extended deployment for the first time, which means that somewhere in the Pacific Ocean, there's a ship roaming around that didn't exist before that has a bunch of helicopters on it that can attack you. And, you know, you don't have to be a British military general to understand why that's a bad thing for the Taiwanese people. So, you know, it just goes to show you that, you know, while we're focused on a lot of things in our military, we're focused on Ukraine, we're focused on the Middle East, we're focused on building these big platforms that have been in development for 30, 40 years. Our enemies are focused on different things. They're focused on creating the capabilities to do what they want. And in China's case, that's the ability to take Taiwan before we can intervene. And we're not focused on that. And so the helicopters, the missiles, the nuclear weapons, the cyber attacks, the economic coercion. This is part of a suite of weapons, not just military weapons, economic weapons, diplomatic weapons, political weapons that Beijing is using against Taiwan each and every day. And, you know, to my mind, if we're going to have a strategy that has any chance of preventing that invasion, any chance of saving Taiwan's democracy and its economy from what's coming, that's what we should be focused on. That's what we should spend more of our time and resources on. And right now we're just stuck in the old patterns of buying the things that may not matter anymore.
And the leaks, there also is a revelation in the leaks of surveillance balloons, more surveillance balloons than the administration has either acknowledged or clarified what they were doing. These are not ghost balloons. I believe the documents mention four more balloons, and some of them with a radar that can see through the clouds. And one of them, or more of them, are said in these documents to have lingered or surveilled a carrier battle group. None of this is confirmed. But does that make sense to you that this is also part of the preparation for Taiwan to be able to watch the Pacific and to watch the carrier battle groups from near space, not orbital space, not far space, near space, under 60,000 feet, I think?
Right. No, I mean, it makes perfect sense if you're sitting in Beijing. From their perspective, you want several ways to track what's going on. You want to be able to track it from satellites. You want to be able to track it from cyber attacks. You want to be able to track it from human sources. And why not have a bunch of balloons in the low Earth orbit? Because as we found out pretty stunningly, we don't really have any good defenses for that either. And what happened was that the administration has been aware of these balloons for a long time. And now that we know they've been aware of them for even longer than they admitted, we can see why they kept it secret, because when you do spot one in the sky, the only thing that we could think of, the U.S. government could think of, was to send an F-22 up to shoot it down, which is not a really efficient way to deal with a balloon. Now, there's an added wrinkle here, because the balloons and the hypersonics may be tied together. This isn't in the documents, but this is what my sources say, is that if you've got a bunch of hypersonic weapons that are meant to hit targets all over the Pacific, you need to map out those targets, but you have to have pretty good intelligence of that terrain. And that's what these balloons may be doing. In other words, they sent the balloon to Hawaii. It got blown off course. It ended up in Alaska, and then it came down to Myrtle Beach or whatever. But it was intended for Hawaii. That's where the hypersonics are headed. That can't be a coincidence. So they're mapping for hypersonics. Then they're building the hypersonic weapons, all with the one goal, which is to control more of the area around China, around Taiwan. And they're doing it in a number of ways. And if you just look at balloons, you might say, oh, what do we care about balloons? But if you look at it in the context of all of these other things that work together, well, then you understand that it's a much scarier picture than just having a couple balloons in the sky.
Why do we believe this is all significant to Beijing? Recently, a report from the Financial Times says that Secretary Blinken so far has not been able to follow through on his Beijing visit because, the FT reports, China fears or is anxious about or unhappy with an FBI report about the capabilities of these surveillance balloons. This is what the FT is saying. So geopolitical conversation, diplomacy is being held up because of the balloons or because of what we've discovered about the balloons. That makes it a significant weapon system. Does that suggest to you that the Chinese plan has been interrupted? I'm not quite sure how to connect a visit by the Secretary of State to a battle plan.
Right. No, it's clear to me and from my reporting that the balloons are only one reason why the Chinese government has cut off the Biden administration. Now, that was the proximate cause for Secretary Blinken to cancel his trip to Beijing. But a lot has happened since then that has nothing to do with the balloons. And, you know, but President Biden has been trying to get Xi Jinping on the phone for over a month, and Xi Jinping won't pick up the phone. And that's not just about the balloons. That is about a host of policies that the Chinese government wants us to change, including tech restrictions, including how we approach the Taiwan visit issue and whether or not U.S. congressmen are allowed to meet with Taiwanese leaders, and lots of other things, our criticism of their human rights record, our attempts to control where they buy their oil. So the balloon is one piece of why the Chinese are giving the Biden administration the middle finger. But it is really important to understand that the break in U.S.-China relations is not right now caused by the U.S. side. that the freezing of the diplomacy is not actually Biden's fault, because he would very much like to get Xi Jinping on the phone, but the guy won't answer. So the best we can do in that situation is keep the light on and continue our preparations.
Josh Rogan of The Washington Post. I'm John Marsh.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.